Hello and welcome to the Breakthrough Coaches podcast coaching series, session 8, entitled Cut Your Email Down to Size in Under 2 Weeks. I'm Jill Pankhost, Vice President of the Breakthrough Coach. If you're listening to this session, you're a graduate of our Foundations course, How to Work Less, Produce More, and Still Get the Job Done in a Sensible School Week. The purpose of this audio series is to support our graduates in the on-the-job implementation of the Breakthrough Coach program. As with any new program you undertake, challenges will arise. You'll have burning questions for which you'll want answers. You'll come to decision-making crossroads that call for out-of-the-box solutions. And inevitably, breakdowns will arise. This podcast series is designed to support and encourage you in those make or break moments so that you thrive as an administrative team. We've arrived at podcast number 8, and by now, you likely have some successful Breakthrough Coach practice under your belt. It's time to talk about email. We agree, email is out of control, abusive, and absolutely interfering with your ability to get meaningful work done. School executives tell us that on average, they're barraged by about 150 to 200 messages a day and bemoan the fact that they're spending more time responding to email than they're spending out in classrooms talking to live people who need real live support. Email. The more you use it, the more it uses you up and spits you out the other end. Couple that with the fact that it's not an executive's job to read, prioritize, and respond to incoming communication, that has always been the domain of secretaries. And a conclusion one could draw is that perhaps we're all living in a hell of our own making. In response to this breakdown, we've developed a step-by-step plan for cutting your email inbox down to size in under 2 weeks. Let me lay it out for you. Step 1. Silence your devices. There is a way to turn off the constant email chirping emitted by your phones and computers while still hearing actual ringtones. Please, for all our sakes, do this. There's nothing more disruptive and jarring to your psyche than being at the beck and call of that pinging. You are permanently degrading your ability to focus when you allow your email to bleep at you all day long. And if I'm the person attempting to talk to you over the din of the bleep, it's like trying to connect with a parent who constantly allows their 10-year-old to interrupt. It is just plain rude. Start to break your email addiction by silencing the beep. This alone won't pare down your inbox, but it will begin to quiet your central nervous system. Otherwise, you're simply a stimulus response machine. No boundaries, no volition, no free will, and this is no way to live. Step number 2, let your auto reply do the talking. When someone emails you, the sender should receive an auto reply that goes something like this. Thank you for reaching out to our school or department. I'm currently in classrooms or out at sites working to improve the delivery of teaching and learning for our students. Because of this, I only check email once daily between X time and X time. If you need A, general question answered or to relay a message, if you need a resource from our school or department, or if you need time to meet or speak with me directly, please contact my executive secretary and give a name at and list their phone number and email address, and she or he or they will assist you. Thank you again for reaching out and for your ongoing support of our school or department. This auto-reply accomplishes several goals simultaneously. One, it clarifies for senders that you are not a stimulus response machine, that your time is valuable, and that you have a structure in place to manage communication in your office, that you are a seasoned and skillful executive. 2, it explains to your constituents what you actually do for a living, rather than perpetuating the myth that you are the organization's full-time help desk. 3, it conveys to senders the process for getting their needs met. And 4, it elevates and redefines the role of your secretary as gatekeeper and demonstrates your confidence in him or her to run front office operations. Again, your job as an executive is to talk. And every bit of talking you do, either out loud or in print, should educate others about your appropriate role and how you have designed your school or department to run. Step number 3. I call this one junk mail as training and development. In your cup runneth over inbox, junk mail typically accounts for 45% of the daily dose. After subtracting for the number of emails your spam folder actually captures, you're left with the perfect amount of junk to begin educating your secretary about how to handle your email. The first exercise I call the 5 for 5, which goes like this. Secretary, please scan my inbox 3 times a day for 5 minutes and unsubscribe me from 5 lists a day total. Then, in our next daily meeting, tell me which lists you unsubscribed me from, and I'll either concur or provide coaching. What's the point of this exercise? Before you teach your secretary about your priorities, about what to pay attention to, teach your secretary about what to stop paying attention to. And when you do this, you free up huge amounts of productive energy. Step 4, be clear with others about what your job isn't. Our clients tell us that another 25% of what's in their inbox is relevant and valuable information. It's just not relevant and valuable to them. These are emails that should be sent to someone else in the school or department or district, someone who's actually accountable for dealing with the information contained in the email. But because nobody's clear about what the executive's job is, send it to or CC the executive has become standard operating procedure. Again, while ignorance is bliss for some, it's creating unnecessary suffering for you. Step 4, although more labor intense, is critical for causing an organization-wide awakening. Executives, start by building a contact list of your top 10 producers of relevant and valuable, yet utterly misdirected email. Then hand the list over to your secretary and have your secretary schedule you a 5-minute phone call with each one. When you finally get a repeat offender on the phone, begin each conversation with acknowledgement and appreciation. Something like, "Thanks, Ed, for taking my call. I want you to know I really appreciate the support and timely communication you provide our school or a department or a district." Then explain to Ed in the nicest, most tactful way possible. "Unfortunately, Ed, I never get a chance to read your emails because A, I'm not in the office most of the week," and explain what you are doing, meaning observing, coaching, training, and developing. "And B, I have someone whose job it is to read, understand, and act on your emails. That person's named," and provide a name. Follow that with, "I've intentionally structured the lines of accountability around here so that not everything in the organization runs through me. Instead, most of the work you do is managed by," and provide a name, "who then reports to me to keep me abreast of current issues, trends, and information. Please send your emails about A, B, or C directly to them." Complete this conversation by requesting kindly that they stop CCing you because their very relevant and valuable information just keeps sinking to the bottom of your already overflowing inbox. Again, executives, your job is to talk, and you will never unburden yourself from the daily email onslaught without purposefully talking, educating, training, and developing your school community members about how best to interact with you. Step number 5. Train your secretary to handle your email. I repeat, train your secretary to handle your email. Do not dump this responsibility on your secretary all at once. Getting to the point where your secretary can handle the entirety of your email inbox could take several months. Practice patience. You remember patience, right? Like when you were a teacher. But always keep in mind, it's not the job of an executive to handle email. It never was, it never will be. The idea, executives, is to give your secretary his or her job back, and in doing so, improve the workflow experience for everyone. Begin your secretary's email training by scheduling time for training on both of your calendars. 10 minutes daily should suffice for the next 2 weeks. This is time set aside every day for the two of you to review 5 to 10 emails in your inbox. Not all of them, just 10 minutes worth. During this 10 minutes, you're introducing your secretary to what typically shows up in your email, like requests for your time, feedback or input, requests for supplies or services, conversations related to projects you're engaged in, critical and time-sensitive documents you're developing, and or need to review weekly. Bring your secretary up to speed so that he or she can begin to check your inbox 3 times a day for 10 minutes and knowledgeably correspond with senders and or schedule tasks on your behalf. That which your secretary doesn't yet know how to handle can be left for your reviewing pleasure and or a training and development conversation during the next day's daily meeting. After 2 weeks in your email crash course, we find most secretaries can competently handle at least 50% of their executives' emails without a huge amount of time or effort on their part. After 3 months of daily meeting and consistent email training, 85 to 95% of it. Executives, you're now down to a handful of daily incoming email that you and only you can handle, typically in 20 minutes a day or less. So have your secretary schedule 20 minutes of email time on your calendar, preferably at the end of every day, for you to bang it out. Tricks for getting your email done in 20 minutes or less. 1, when a message calls for a one-line response like thank you or no thank you or confirming call 1 p.m. Thursday, type your response in the subject line and include the letters EOM at the end of the subject line. EOM is the acronym for end of message. This saves both you and your reader precious time and keystrokes. 2, keep your subject lines to the point and your body text short. Remember, even though most of your colleagues can read, they don't read. If your email is more than 5 lines long, you've lost them and vice versa. Use bullets to make your points and or to give instructions. No more long sentences, no more endless paragraphs. Nobody, including you, is reading them. 3, if you're involved in an ongoing project with emails zipping back and forth between colleagues, don't deal with them upon receipt. Instead, as these emails come in, have your secretary move them to a digital file and then ask your secretary to block time on your calendar for you to deal with the whole project, including all new and related email. Again, don't allow incoming email to distract you from your already scheduled priorities. 4, when sending or replying to email, CC your secretary on everything. You want your secretary intimately familiar with all the conversations you're in and how you think and talk about them. And then as new emails on the same topic dribble in throughout the day, your secretary can pick up the conversation where you left off, and you may never have to deal with certain issues ever again. And finally, 5, send less email. Reply to even fewer. Why? Because every email you send generates on average 2 more. Again, it's a hell of our own making. Instead, respond to staff's emails in person when you're out in their environment. Phone your central office colleagues and leave messages instead of replying. Have someone else on your staff respond to parent emails with a phone call and or invite parents in to talk. Again, the way to win at the email game, as often as possible, don't play. As an executive, your job is to talk. And the higher up you go in an organization, the more sophisticated, nuanced, leveraged, and frequent your talking should be. Thank you for listening. This is the end of podcast number 8.